This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, how does it feel to hit a home run?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, to hear it from you, I guess I'll take it on faith that it's a home run. And if it's true, I'm the happiest guy on earth, man. After 5.5 years pounding away at this, it's been a really difficult ride. I'm really happy about it.
One of the most the difficult challenges, I presume, for you were making the transition from the original creators of this to Brad, right? I mean, were you on board before Brad became...
Yeah, a long time. The idea started a little over 6 years ago. I started with it shortly thereafter, so it's been over 5.5. And, I guess that was the toughest transition, but actually, for a while, you kind of know if you're not hitting your marks in anything, right? And when the story was having trouble finding itself, it was almost harder before Brad, just before Brad came on, because you're like going, oh, man, we're not good enough yet. We're not good enough yet, and the release is coming up, and we got to get there. And so... You know, the crew starts to take it on faith on the producer that you're going to help get them to where they need to be and get the right...
Was it a matter of tone? I mean, what was it about the pre-Brad Bird version of this script that was problematic?
It's just thematically a rich concept. It doesn't seem it, at least didn't to me when I first heard it. Rat wants to become a chef. Thinks, well, you know, it's kind of cool idea, a little bit impossible. Pixar will do something clever with it. But when you get into it, it's like, okay, so it's about prejudice. It's a little bit about, it could be a fish out of water story. So you're going to, you know, how is he different than his, like, it's about a relationship with his father and his mother and his brother and how he gets away from that. No, it's not really that. It's about the chef who lost his soul to merchandising. Remy revives his soul. Yeah, there's a bit of that. But, well, it's really about life and death because Rat's going to, and it's like, no, it's really about, so... The story was trying to be 4 or 5 different things all simultaneously because they're rich directions. And so it was a matter of we didn't have a lot of time left and we needed to find that central conviction, and Bird was the guy who could find it.
I'll go in. what were the challenges, or what was the hardest sequence to do as far as animating Paris?
So... I'm sorry, when you say that, because animating, typically I'm thinking about the characters, not so much about the
background. I mean, actually, the city to me is just amazing.
Right.
And what was the most challenging part of making Paris, you know?
So there's the thing that doesn't meet the eye is, one of the challenges was, if you're going to spend a lot of this film not outside, how do you evoke Paris, right? So part of that is when you see Paris is really trying to maximize what you see when you see it. So as a result, you know, the Eiffel Tower's in a lot of shots when you're outside on this because you want to remind people where you are. We see Paris at night fairly often when we're outside because it's a city of light. So you see that sort of, you can put that romance into it right away. And then the other thing is, you know, how do you continue to evoke that when you're in the kitchen, whether or not it's the way people, you know, hold their bodies or whatever it might be. So there's a lot of challenges just given that.
Is there a matte painting in there, or is it just, is it
there's a fair bit of matte painting, but our matte paintings are pretty also, they have 3D elements in them
right.
as well.
So. Sorry.
That's okay. As far as the story is concerned, Was there any worry that it would be a little bit too sophisticated for kids?
You know, I'm not sure we ever really... I mean, we started to realize that there was a level of complexity that we would have to do so people would understand this world, that there was going to be a certain degree of complexity to get it all there, because you've got the world of the rats, we have to understand the relationships in that. The world of the kitchen, we have to understand the relationships in that. We have to understand the status of the kitchen. And, you know, so there's all these things that started to go, wow, there's more in here than we thought. Now, as far as... I don't think we ever worried about that. I mean, you know, we think kids are a lot smarter than most people do. and so we're not shy to tell a somewhat sophisticated story to kids because it's broadly entertaining. I mean, there's a ton of physical comedy in it. You know, there's a lot of great animation, there happens to be a fairly complex story. So that just means they'll enjoy it again when they're older.
Now, you went to Paris a few times, which almost always was the hardest part of this entire process.
It was terrible.
Yeah. How much food did you devour that you wanted to ensure that the food be as visually realistic as possible?
Well, we ate in 6, 7, 8 different of the best restaurants in the world, and the minimum number of courses we had was 17, and the maximum was 29.
Oh my God!
So,
you
don't want to know that. We didn't get them for free, but they're the elaborate.
So what's the best restaurant, in your opinion, then, out of the ones that you tried?
I got too many personal relationships to call one the best.
Give me the top three.
There was Guy Savoy Italian All French Laundry. those are three of my favorites on this research trip. Sorry?
What were they again?
Very quick.
Guy Savoy, Taille Avant, and French Laundry. But I got to say, you know, every restaurant there, you know, with all these courses, you'll teach something that you go, oh my God, you know, that was amazing. And some of it's really simple. Like, Guy Savoy made an asparagus dish. It wasn't even mine. So it was somebody else at the table that was a vegetarian. I'm like, come here, can I try that? And it was, you know, it's like what we try to do in our stories. We try to tell the essence of something, right? The essence of a character or a place and time or whatever. And a great chef tries, it's like they try to get the essence of that food. And I think I've tasted the essence of asparagus. It was awesome.
Who came up with the shot of when the critic is in the restaurant and he tastes the ratatouille, of zooming in? I mean, how did that shot come together?
Well, you know, in early incarnations of the story, one idea that we were playing with that Jan liked was when Gusteau was alive in some early version of the story. Gusteau would accidentally taste Remy's ratatouille and he'd be thrown back into his childhood because we, you know, all the different chefs that we interviewed, one of the common themes was some childhood emotional relationship to food, and that's why they went into that industry to become great chefs. So we did that, and then we thought, oh, it'd be fun if Ego ever tasted it. He'd also do that, and I think we had one other one at one point in time. So it was an early kind of conceptual idea we had that we might do something like that. The one for Ego, the decision to keep it, and the one made for Ego in this, you know, was Brad. And again, I think he was influenced by some of these earlier ideas that we were playing around with on it.
How many of the voice talents were involved in this pre-Brad Bird? I mean, I couldn't imagine anyone else other than Pedro O'Toole, for example, voicing.
Yeah, we had
Ego.
Somebody else as Ego prior to Pedro O'Toole.
Can you say who that was? Or?
You know, I just, when we take actors out of roles, I don't like to talk about it just because it's not always their fault. Sometimes it's our fault. We miscast them or we've rewritten it. So when Brad rewrote it, he thought about Pedro O'Toole. Brian Dennehy was on it. Ian Holm was on it. I'm forgetting. Brad Garrett was on it. And then we cast together some of these other actors afterwards.
How involved are you in some of the other Pixar projects? Or was it just this film?
Primarily just this film. I mean, generally what happens is they put a producer and director on a concept that we've basically greenlit the concept. It's different than greenlighting a script, is why I'm saying it that way. And then the producer and director basically persevere and try to make that film, means writing it, doing story, all that stuff.
I guess I wanted to know, recently, in the last week or two, a lot of information has been released on WALL-E. And so I wanted to know what you thought of what you've seen so far, because the concept seems revolutionary, with the first third of the movie being almost silent. And I wanted to know, you know, can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know, the stuff I've seen in the first act stuff is breathtaking. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I think the one thing that we'll all talk about 5 years from now is what happened across the course of probably, you know, there's a lot of really divergent styles of film that Pixar's in the midst of telling. I think Rat, I mean, you guys, I would guess agree, is a pretty different film. WALL-E's a very different film. Up, which they recently announced, is a very different film. Toy Story 3 will be a visit to an old family friend. But they're really divergent. And the fact that Pixar, it's okay. I mean, you know, when Andrew talked about, hey, there's not going to be any, you know, dialogue and whatever, that significant portion of the film, it's like, okay, man, we'll go there with you. I mean, that's a great support that we get as filmmakers and storytellers, is the confidence for people to let us go with what we want to do in our gut.
Now, the closing credits of Ratatouille are 2D animation stuff, which is really unusual, I guess. Did it make anyone at Pixar sort of think of the good old days of 2D, and do you think that 2D is dead in the world?
You know, no. I don't think people at Pixar feel like that 2D's dead at all. I don't think we look at 2D as the good old days. I mean, I think there were some good old days in 2D, but I don't think we think it's done. And I think John's interested in doing a 2D animated film. And you know, I didn't come up through 2D, but many people did, including Brad and a bunch of folks on Pixar, and they love it. And we think it's a great genre, a great way to tell a story.
Pixar's kind of known for hiding, like, other objects or characters from other films. What is in Ratatouille that we can find?
Well, now, see, you're not going to like me on this one, because I'm the guy that says, well, you got to watch the film if you want to see that stuff. I mean, there is a bunch of fun little discoveries in there, but it's only a discovery if you don't know it, right? If you watch it and you, I mean, hope, did you see one or two in it?
No.
Oh, come on. No.
I've seen it twice. And
we were entranced in watching the actual movie. And
we have some hints.
Yeah.
No.
Would they be on the DVD? I mean, would they be more likely to find them if you look for them harder on the DVD?
Yeah. I mean, you can go back and forth. Sorry?
Is there a hidden Mickey on there?
I think there's probably a hidden Buzz and the guys from Toy Story.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I'm not your guy on that. No, I mean, that's the whole fun. That's the point.
We'll get it out of Brad.
was Gordon Ramsay the inspiration for the executive chef with his temperament? Or anyone
else? No. But, I mean, you know, it always made sense that in the kitchen we'd have some sort of a power struggle thing. And Ian Holm, did you see Big Night?
Yeah.
He's got that personality and that conviction. Fun, yeah. So we always return on to that. It took a while to find where Skinner was going in this. And it was until Brad got rid of Gusteau, where Skinner could really kind of take that center power monger, and you know that where he starts to lose his mind, which is beautiful writing on Brad's part.
Was there a chef though that you met in doing your research who you just thought, this guy?
You know what? Chefs are all pretty nice. Now I grew up working in restaurants, so I can tell you a lot of chefs are sons of guns, but. But we didn't, you know, maybe they were on their best behavior with us, but most of these guys were, they were great, you know. And my guess is any chef that was more like that Gordon Ramsay character wouldn't let us come into his restaurant in the first place. You know what I mean? I mean, we went to Paris, and they opened their doors. I mean, Guy Savoy, one of the great chefs in the world, is like, come on in. We interviewed him and talked to him. I'm sure there were one or two that said, no, I can't come in here.
Did any of your bandmates or crew have to overcome a fear of rats? Because, I mean, they're... A lot of people are scared of them.
Everybody has a fear of rats. Give me a break. When Bird, in fact, this is funny. When Bird said to me, he goes, I said, well, Ike, how many rats? You know, because we have to worry about crowds and all this stuff and fur and the render and all this stuff. And I'm saying, you know, what do you need? Like 50, 60? He's going, no, I think, so, you know, hundreds, like a couple hundred. And I'm like going, all right, dude, so here's the deal. I'm going to put you in your office in your boxer shorts with 5 rats. And if after an hour you come out and still need 200 rats, I'll give them to you.
And
he wouldn't take me up on it. No, but everybody hates rats, right? You do. I mean, pet rats, I think some people have experience with pet rats and like them because they're kind of cute and their fur is kind of cool. But everybody hates a street rat, sewer rat, whatever, tree rat.
Well, the challenge for this movie was to make the main rat lovable. I mean, that was to imbue him with enough humanity to make it, otherwise it wouldn't work, right?
That's true. I mean, although, you know, I didn't want to make him too cute. That, I mean, I wasn't alone in that. But when I say that, it's like you don't want to overcompensate for the fact that they're rats and then, like, put little cute little pants and shoes and hats on and say, oh, see, you know what I mean? We want it to be true to rats and make you go along. It's like, yeah, no, they're really rats. And, you know, Brad was really great about that. And he really pushed for him to be on all fours because we had him in the earlier incantations being on two legs more often than not. And Brad said, no, I really want him to be on all fours. I want them people to feel like they're real rats. So they have that reaction to them. And then it's all the greater when they start to relate to them and relate to the humanity in them and what their needs are. And you enjoy them, and that feels better, right? It's, you know, it's, you want to be taken to great lengths when you go to the theater, right? And I mean, I love the fact that your expectation on this film when you sit down is there's a lot of skeptics, and I think at the end of the film, I haven't spoken to many skeptics once they've seen it, and that's cool. I mean, that's what you want. You want to go to something and say, like, I think this is about this, and you're like going, you know, at the end, you're like going, ah, that was cool. I mean, you want that experience.
Has anyone been screaming out because of the rats?
you know, the one part, I mean, I don't know if your stuff's playing before the movie, but you know where they fall down and there's everybody can, yeah.
My last question is, now that you've wrapped on this movie, are you working on another Pixar movie?
I am.
And?
And
you're going to tell us exactly what that is, aren't you?
No, it's great. I'm really excited about it. I'm on a project that's coming up, and it has been announced. So I'm sorry, but I'm excited.
After Toy Story 3, then.
What's that?
So it's after Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Is there a director attached?
I'm sorry?
There's no director attached, either, to the one that you're doing?
I can't talk about it, man. Thanks for asking, though. All right.